As Stuart said, the first book of the Bible, in the church Bibles, the big black ones, it's page 11. So we're right at the front, beginning in chapter 7 and verse 24 and going through to chapter 8. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the sea and waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of 150 days, the water had gone down. And on the seventh day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the tenth month, and on the first day of the tenth month, the tops of the mountains became visible. After 40 days, Noah opened a window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find no place to set its feet because there was water over the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited seven more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited seven more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return. By the sixth day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw the surface of the ground was dry. On the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds and the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number upon it." So Noah came out, together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds. Everything that moves on the earth came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelt the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease."
A couple of weeks ago, Darius, we need to get the PowerPoint straight onto this because I'm going to come up to this. A couple of weeks ago, we revisited an old hymn, and we're going to sing it again later. It has this word in it, this verse in it. And it was these words: "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." Those were words that kind of caught my attention when I read it through. Maybe it was this song that sparked the thought, but certainly as I was kind of asking the Lord recently as to what he, if there was anything particular he wanted me to preach on, to teach on, since our series in Ephesians finished. This was one of the passages that came to mind. And so this passage in Genesis chapter 8. So I want to share this with you, thinking of the dove that went out from the ark, a dove which I think we can use as a picture of us leaving the ark. If we think this morning of Jesus being the ark, it's a picture that the Bible uses elsewhere of Jesus being like the ark. In order to be safe from the flood of God's judgment to come, remember the flood of water on the earth, we're told, was a judgment of God because of the sin. It speaks about the fact when Jesus comes again, there will be a judgment. And the picture is like another flood. And the only way that anything could survive the first flood was being in the ark that God had told Noah to make. The only way for us to be safe in the second flood, not a physical flood of water, but the flood of God's judgment, the Bible uses this image of being safe in Jesus, of being in Jesus. So Jesus is like our ark that protects us from the flood of judgment that would otherwise keep us away and send us away from God forever. So that's what you need to have in mind as we think of this, that Jesus is like our ark. And I want us to picture ourselves being like this dove. So where do we go? First of all, I tried to be a little bit more clever this week with the PowerPoint, and I'm afraid it totally failed. And I didn't realize it until we went to put it up this morning. So whereas I usually kind of show you, break it down little by little, you've got the whole lot in one go today. So I hope that won't be too distracting, but there it is. So you can see, hopefully you can see where we are. And at least at 25 past 11, you can think he hasn't got, you can see exactly where I am, and you'll get some idea of whether we've got very long to go. At least that's the theory that we'll try to go for. Think first of all about the dove being safe in the ark. She had been rescued from the catastrophic flood. She'd been kept safe in amongst all the water when all the food that she would have had was gradually drowned outside of the ark. The trees that she would have rested in, the home that she would have been in, the little dove coop that she would have been home, that was washed away. But she had been kept perfectly safe in the ark, wanting really for nothing. Noah, who'd rescued her, had made sure that she was protected from the rain, she'd got the food, she was protected from the other animals, she was comfortable and safe. But now she has this opportunity to stretch her wings and fly away out from the ark. Like I say, I want to compare ourselves to the dove this morning. In the ark of Jesus, whilst we're with him, we are safe. Safe, protected. He guarantees to watch over us, to protect us from the judgment that is to come. In him, with him, we are safe. We're secure. We're provided for. We're protected spiritually at every level. There's nothing that we could need that he will not give to us. Outwardly, there's always things that we wish were different, aren't there? But you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says that in all things God works for the good of those that love him, that are called according to his purposes. God promises to watch over us, to keep us safe. Nothing will come to us that will harm us in eternity. He keeps us safe. He is our rescuer. He's our provider. Every care is taken of us and for us. But sometimes we too, like the dove, leave that place of safety. We want to just fly away from Jesus, just move away from him, the place of fellowship and friendship with God. We need to ask the question, why? I put on the PowerPoint. Why would the dove ever want to fly away? There are three little reasons here. First of all, because of the opportunity that she had. The Bible tells us clearly that Noah took her and put her by the open window. Noah took her. He opened the window. It says in verse 6. He opened the window he'd made in the ark and sent out the raven. It kept flying back. Then he sent the dove out to see if the water had receded from the earth. Noah, her protector, gave her the opportunity. Put her by the window and she went out. You know, there are times in our lives when our Lord, when our Jesus will allow us. He might even lead us into a place where we have the opportunity, faced with temptation, to make a choice. What are we going to do? Are we going to stay safe or are we going to fly out of the window? We have a choice to make. Stay safe or trust ourselves. You question whether that happens? Well, that's exactly what happened to our Jesus himself. If you know the story, Jesus went to John the Baptist and he was baptized. And it says he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit came upon him and led him into the wilderness where he was tempted. If it can happen to Jesus, it can surely happen to us as well. There was a reason why the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. It was for proving, it was for testing, it was for Jesus' good and for our good, to see how good and perfect and strong and resistant Jesus is. It might not be a pleasant thing, but Noah, like Jesus, had a reason to send her out. She, for all we know, I'm just putting my head into the mind of a dove, if a dove has a mind, I'm not sure. She might secretly have been thinking, I've been cooped up for long enough. It would be nice to spread my wings. It would be nice to get out and have a chance to go free. But then given the exposure to the watery wasteland that the ark was floating on, she would soon long to get back to where she could rest her wings again. Where she would be fed, where she'd be cared for, where she would be safe. There was a reason. You know, when the Lord leads us or allows any of us, his people, to pass into the way of temptation, part of the reason, one of the reasons for that, is that he would desire us to realize the barrenness of life without him. I think sometimes when we've been Christians for a while, maybe a few months, maybe a few years, you know, I think most of us can identify with this who are Christians. You know, we become a Christian and we realize how wonderful it is and we're so thankful to God for his love and his salvation, to know that sins have been forgiven, to know we've been adopted into his family, to feel a family of like-minded people. We enjoy going to church, we love it, we look forward to it. But for many people, there comes a time when that initial enthusiasm starts to wane. We get a sense of familiarity with it. And little things come in that just take the edge away. Maybe the difficulties come, we start to question, does God really love me? If he loved me, why does he allow this? Or we may think, you know, oh, go to church every week. There's so many things I need to do. And we can start gradually to lose, because we lose that enthusiasm for God, for his word, for other Christians. And it's like the window of opportunity, and we kind of leave. And sometimes God will say, okay, you want to go, you can go. I'm not going to make you do it. It's not a law. You don't have to do it. But it's not until we go away that we realize what we've missed or what we miss. And we realize our own weakness. We realize our vulnerability. We realize that we miss the teaching that God gives us, the comfort that he gives us. And we find ourselves having to stand on our own feet rather than being able to rely on Jesus. People sometimes say to me, but religion, Christianity, is a crutch for weak people. Yeah, it is, isn't it? You know, if we say we're strong, we're not going to need Jesus. But once we realize how weak we are before God, how much we need him, we're not going to be ashamed to say we need him. And he graciously says, I will help you. And sometimes we forget our need of him. We forget our need spiritually, emotionally, relationally. Because he helps in all of those ways. We go away, and it's often when we go away, we start to realise how much we miss him and need him. The Lord overrules in temptation and sin to cause us to desire him and admire him and love him and value him more. All that said, though, the dove could have refused to go. Before the open window of opportunity. So why did she go? Well, because she had wings. She had wings. She could fly. She wanted to fly. It's what doves were made for. And you know, you and I may be saved. We may be forgiven. We may have trusted Jesus. We may be seeking to follow him. Whether we're doing that well or whether we're not. But we're wanting to follow him. But you know, there is still within us something that will draw us away. In Galatians chapter 4 and in Romans chapter 7 of the Bible, the great apostle Paul, St. Paul, describes the battle that goes on within us. Because when we're saved, we get a new nature. Jesus gives us a new heart. But the old nature, the old self is still there. And it's like a battle that goes on within us. And in Romans chapter 7, Paul describes that battle that he had. He says, the things that I want to do, you know, they're the things that I find I don't do. And you know the things that I don't want to do? They're the things that I so often find myself doing. He speaks about this battle. Just because we've been saved, he's saying, doesn't mean that we're perfect. Doesn't mean that we're not tempted. And there is part of us that will want to go away from God. It's a battle. It's part of our natural human nature and inclination. It's why we had to fight against it as the followers of Jesus. But then maybe it was the third thing, why would she want to leave? Maybe there's a homing instinct that kicked in. You know, doves are homing birds, aren't they? We've got a flock of, I don't know what you call them, a flock of racing pigeons in a house at the back of ours. And we see them circling around. And the guy will take them off in his car and drop them off, open them up, and then they have to fly back home. They have this innate ability, don't they, to come back to home. I wonder if this little dove didn't perhaps have a desire, like doves do, to go and find where home was. To go back to the old home. To go and find the house where her owner used to be. I wonder. She's been cooped up. Just going back for old time's sake, you know? It's easy to do that, isn't it? We're Christians, we're followers of Jesus. But just for old time's sake, just to do what we used to do, to go where we used to go, just to be once what we used to be. There's that homing instinct that comes from that old sinful nature. The Israelites struggled in the Old Testament. God wonderfully brought them out of Egypt. Do you remember the story? They were his people. 10 plagues brought them out, crossed the Red Sea, remember it? And no sooner had they got across the Red Sea, staggering miracle, by the way. You know, the Egyptians that had been following them, covered over and with water, and not one of the Israelites had lost their life. They'd seen it, you know, almost within hours. They're looking at the packed lunches they'd brought out and realised there wasn't much left. Maybe they were getting a bit thirsty. You know what they said? I'll read you what they said. If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic. But now we've lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. Isn't it crazy that these people have all that God had done? They said, we want to go back to slavery again. The old life still has its attraction sometimes. and the best of people still have within them the seeds of the old way. So don't be surprised at the temptation. Maybe, you know, this is resonating with, it must be, otherwise the Lord wouldn't have set it on my heart to bring to you this morning. For those of you with whom it's resonating, don't be surprised at the temptation. Don't be surprised when those hankerings for those old ways come that open the way to go back. But remember this, there was no rest for the dove outside of the ark. Whatever reason she actually left, she soon discovered that things were different now. She'd been saved. And out of the ark, she flies round and round and round and finds nowhere for her to rest. As the day wears on, you can imagine this little dove flying and flying and flying. And doves aren't made to fly all day. They're not swifts. They're doves. And she would want to settle down somewhere, and there's nowhere. And she would then desire to go back. There's no rest outside. Maybe she saw the raven. You know what ravens eat, don't you? You see the crows on the, like seagulls on the road, eating the roadkill. There would have been a lot of flood kill those days. There were probably the raven gorging itself on some rotten carcass. But that's no meat, no food for a dove, is it? Like the dove, we're not made as God's children to feed on the rotten carcass of this world. We've been given a new nature, new appetites. And when we go away from the Lord, we will find that ultimately those things don't satisfy us like they used to. Things have changed. You've changed. You've got a new nature, a new heart. Those things that you used to delight in, they won't hold their same satisfaction. They won't fulfill you. And you know it, don't you? You know it. Why? Because you're a follower of Jesus and this world is no longer your home. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. We're citizens of heaven now. We're made for better things. Let me just throw a warning in here. If you do find that you can rest, if you do find that actually you get more satisfaction outside of church and outside of the Bible and outside of Jesus, if you find actually the things of God are more of a chore consistently, the longer you're away from the ark, then let me give you a warning. Look in your heart and ask, am I a dove? Or am I a raven? Have I really been saved? Am I really one of God's children? You see, doves are not satisfied by carrion. And if we're satisfied with carrion, then it reveals our real nature. And that's serious. I'm not saying that you won't sin. I'm not saying that as Christians we won't fall for temptation. That you won't occasionally fly out of the window. We all do. But when we do, we're grateful for the grace of God, aren't we? When we get there and we find it doesn't satisfy us. That we find that we're still hungry. And we find within us that pull. That still small voice or that torrent, come back to God. And we might fight against it because of the embarrassment, the difficulty. What are people going to say? Because, you know, wandering away isn't always physically. It's not always that we stop going to church. We can be in church, but a long way away from the Lord. I know. I've been there. As a pastor. Shock, horror. Confessions of the minister. We can be away from the Lord, not walking in fellowship, not loving him, not being passionate for him, and be in church. You see, Jesus told a story, and with this I'm going to finish. Because the last point is that Noah received the ark back, the dove back in. See, Jesus told a story about two boys, a man with two sons, an older one and a younger one. You know this, if you know the story, the younger one said, Dad, give me my share of the inheritance now. And he went off and wasted it on wine, women and song. The classic backslider, the classic one who's in the home and then goes away. And that's the kind of picture that we tend to have when we talk about leaving the Lord and wandering away, going back to the old ways. That boy, it was hard for him as he sat in the pig pen looking at the food of the pigs thinking, I could murder for a bit of that. Because he'd wasted everything and he sat there and he thought, I've got to go back home, it's going to be hard. And he rehearsed over and over again what he was going to say. He was embarrassed, he didn't know what his father would say. And in the story, Jesus said, as the boy got near home, the dad was actually out there waiting for him, arms out. And the father ran to meet him and said, come on, welcome back, son. Let's have a feast. Let's kill the calf. Let's get you dressed. Let's get some shoes on your feet. Let's get a ring to show you're still my son. Welcome home. And maybe you've been away. And Jesus says to you this morning, come back home. And as you go back home, he's waiting for you. But there was another son in that story. And he was the elder brother who'd never left the family home. Everybody thought he was good. Everybody thought that he'd got it sorted. Everybody thought that he was the model son. He stayed with his father. You know, when the runaway son came back, the bitterness of that older brother's heart was revealed. He was resentful of his younger brother, that the father could be extravagant in his love and acceptance. And he moaned and he groaned and he wouldn't even go into the party. It is possible that we can be like that older brother, isn't it? Begrudging the grace of others. We can be in the home, but not living as sons and daughters. The dove that went away from the ark didn't find a place to rest. Maybe you know this morning that you've been away from the Lord. You know that tugging in your heart has been something to say, you need to get back. Start reading your Bible again. Start praying. You're here in church, which is wonderful, but you know, it's not your presence. It's you, your heart, that God wants. If he's speaking to you, if this is you, this has described you this morning, then just go back. Go back, put yourselves into the hands of Jesus. Know that he loves you, know that he cares for you, and that he wants your best. We're going to sing this song as we finish this morning. Music team, come and join us. If what I've been saying is for you this morning and you just think, actually, I'd like to talk to someone, you know you can talk to me today. Give me a phone call during the